Both more and less than a record of Burroughs' early years on heroin, this book is, to borrow a phrase from Luc Sant, author of Low Life, a classical study of crime and drugs, crowned with many hats. Having things to say about marijuana, cocaine, benzedrine, nembutal, peyote, yahe, and antihistamines, as well as opium and its derivatives, it's halfway to being a pharmacopoeia. Reflecting Burroughs' studies in anthropology, first at Harvard and then Mexico City College, it mimics the ethnographic field report, detailing the territories and habits of various urban American subcultures and documenting their emergence or decline in the immediate post-war era. Its attention to hipster idiom and criminal argo makes it a study of underworld linguistics. Not only does it recount the practices of narcotics police, lawyers, doctors, and psychiatrists in federal hospitals, but it also contains a surprising amount of information on the economics of crop farming, tips on the dynamics of luck, and meditations on loyalty and betrayal, existential loneliness, and the abject horrors of our own flesh. It's a work of journalistic reportage, a species of confessional autobiography, and a novel informed by Ernest Hemingway, Dashiell Hammett, John O'Hara, and F. Scott Fitzgerald, as well as the dialogue of Hollywood B-movies. This is reckoned to be Burroughs' one straightforward story, a simple, informative account written in a plain, dry style. But read it again, and you come across little pearls of prose and strange spectral images, weird moments of pure menace or utter ambiguity that give the lie to the notion of terse, gritty realism, and whose effects are all the more unsettling because they didn't seem to be there before. Read it a third time, and, far from being dull and flat-footed, the writing now appears spry and subtle, capable of sharp comic touches and guilty of devious tricks. Look at it from different angles, and the thing changes before your eyes, like a trompe-l'œil picture. This strange double-take logic comes in many guises. Here's just one variety. William Lee says, "You need a good bedside manner with doctors or you will get nowhere." At first, the joke is on the doctors, and this looks like the deadpan irony of such phrases as a hard-working thief and a host of others where normally positive cultural terms are given a deft, subversive twist. But look again, and the key words are no longer bedside manner and doctors, but the twice-repeated you. Suddenly, Lee isn't talking about doctors, he's telling you how to score from them. This recurrent tactical trap, insinuating the reader's complicity in the criminal world and making visible our voyeurism, is a unique feature of Burroughs' style here. The closest equivalent to it is a line in Hammett's Red Harvest. "He wasn't the sort of man whose pocket you would try to pick unless you had a lot of confidence in your fingers," which tempts us to wonder just how much confidence do we have in our fingers, whether to pick or not to pick the pocket. In other words, what side of the criminal fence are you really on? Just where do you draw the line? It's tempting to conclude that Burroughs' chillingly cool and seductive book is complex and ironic, to say that its apparent simplicity is a sophisticated ruse designed to fool you. But this is too simple and won't do either. In fact, Burroughs' first novel is both absolutely distinct from everything he would write after it, and yet impossible to read without encountering at every turn phantom traces of the writing to follow. It's like reading two books simultaneously, one atypically straight, the other characteristically twisted. This is its paradoxical situation, its destiny, as the original work of one of America's great original writers.